We get things underway, though, this hour by welcoming into the program the editor of, the New York Times bestseller, a source of great information for more than 150 years, talking about the World Almanac. We're joined by editor Sarah Jansen. Thank you so much for being with us, Sarah.
Thank you so much for having me.
Can I tell you a personal story about my connection to the World Almanac?
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
Great story from my perspective. When I was a little kid, I had this older woman, little old lady neighbor who knew I kind of liked facts and information, and I was into that. And she gave me a copy of the World Almanac. It was about 3 or 4 years old, but it was like somebody had handed me the world. And I read that thing from cover to cover. I became obsessed with it. And so my mom began giving me one of those for Christmas. And so every year since 1966, I have received a World Almanac for Christmas. It is my most treasured gift every year. So I'm so excited to talk with you about it.
Oh, I love that story. That's so great. I actually got my first World Almanac with a Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego computer game back in like 1991 or 92. But sort of the same thing, you know, it's an annual tradition for a lot of people, I think.
Well, and now I've passed this on to my son. I have an 8-year-old at home who in the last few months has become very interested in geography and absolutely loves the almanac for the maps and especially the flags, and can now, as a result of studying this thing nonstop, you show him any flag in the world and he can tell you what country it is.
Oh, that is so cool. We need someone like that on staff. You let him know that.
I will do that. Well, the new edition for 2023 is out already. And as always, it's got so much great information, but a lot of new features too this year, including a pretty updated status report on the coronavirus.
That's right. This is our third year with our coronavirus status report. And, you know, what was really interesting to us as we were putting this together was that we had, you know, the usual data of hospitalizations and case counts and that kind of thing. But we also found that there were a number of other places in the book that we could sort of reflect everything that's changed in the last 3 years because of the pandemic, you know, in places like supply chain changes, public school test results due to the shutdowns, airport traffic, how many people are traveling through the airport has been pretty dramatic as a measure of just how much has changed. So it was really interesting to see these sort of ripple effects go through the data throughout the book, in addition to just being in the status report section.
Also a great section this year on election 2022 and complete results.
That's right. The World Almanac always has just two last things to finish the book before we send it to the printer. And that in non-election years is the World Series, but in election years, it's the election. And then we have just a couple of days to scramble and get those results in. Obviously, the vote results, but also things like campaign spending, always a huge issue. You've got a lot of great data there to sort of recap the 2022 election.
One of the things I always turned to first as a kid when I got the almanac was to go to the sports section, check out all of the baseball statistics, because at the time it was one of the few places where you could get that kind of thing. Always a wonderful sports section in here, and you've added to it this year with a great new feature on some of the greatest rivalry games in sports history.
Yeah, we were having some fun putting that together. Our sports editor was inspired by the rivalry game during Coach K's last Final Four, you know, after 4+ decades as head coach, the Duke-UNC matchup in the tournament was definitely one for the record books. And we decided to take a look back at other sports, other big rivalry games that people found memorable. And of course, it's the kind of list where the real fun is in reading it and then deciding that we don't know what we're talking about because we've got a better entry for the list. So hopefully people will have some fun with it.
We're talking with Sarah Jansen, the editor of The World Almanac. There's a great section on music as well, and some terrific information on the top musical artists of all time, by digital sales, by album sales, the top-selling albums of all time, and even a breakdown of commercial radio stations by format. Is there, there's no other resource we're going to get that kind of information all in one place.
Yeah, we're always doing our best to provide basically an answer to any question you might have and also questions that you might never think to ask. So that's such a great example of showing not just the breadth of the information that we have just on one subject, on music, but also, you know, we're always trying to evolve the data that we provide. Obviously, we didn't have, you know, digital albums 5, 10, 20 years ago, but we're constantly trying to update. So, for example, you'll find streaming show rankings in there for the first time this year in the World Almanac. That's something that we didn't have great data on before this year, and now we do. It's just one of the many, many ways that the editors of the World Almanac are always trying to keep us up to date and providing the best possible information to readers.
And always in the Almanac, a great summary of the biggest events of the year, some wonderful photographs as well, both in news, national, international, the arts, sports, all captured there. And if you want to really remember what 2022 is all about, there's no better source than the World Almanac.
It's such a great way to recap the year. And, you know, so much can happen over the course of the year, and so much that you know is going to happen happens. You know, you always know when an election is coming up. You know when the Olympics are going to be. But then during the course of 2022, we also had unexpected, you know, world-shaking events like the invasion of Ukraine or like the death of Queen Elizabeth. You know, these sort of moments that really do alter the way that we look at the world. And I think the World Almanac is a great way to slow down and see just how much happened over the course of the past year, as well as being just a fun and great reference for the upcoming year to come.
All right. The other thing that I would always look to immediately when I got my almanac as a kid, don't judge me, Sarah, okay? I would go to the obituaries every year, and I still do it. And part of it is, you miss some along the way. You have some famous people that passed away that you don't know about. And I would always go right through alphabetically and say, oh, God, I forgot about that one. And, oh, what? I missed it. They died. And there's no better place to go to sort of get a recap of the people that we've lost in the last year as well and their importance in the world.
For sure. It's a wonderful way to commemorate those sorts of events. And I also think, you know, you're not the only one who loves those sections. One of my favorite pages of the book to compile every year is in the year in pictures, the full color image section that we have. I love to put together the farewell pages where we do photos of those who have passed in the last year. There's just something about seeing the faces. You know, we usually try to get, you know, the career highlights or the photo of the person the way that we best remember them in our collective memory. And it's just such an interesting way to reflect on just how much has happened over the past year.
I have to think the folks involved in this section must have a blast putting it together. There's a great feature on some of the best offbeat news stories of the year.
Oh, yes. Actually, everyone likes to work on the offbeat news. You know, we do a lot with serious data, and it's fun to take a break. And, you know, we have this sort of collective file where we throw all of these great stories in over the course of the year, and then we get to debate at the end of the year, which do we think should make the cut? And that's definitely a great break for us from the black and white spreadsheets that we spend a lot of time with.
We live in such a digital age, but what is it about this book that keeps people coming back to it year after year?
Well, I think for some folks, it's a tradition, as you were saying. You know, it's customary to get one every year for the holidays or to reflect over the past year. I also think that there's just something really great about picking up a book like this that covers so many different things and flipping to a random page and just sort of being introduced to something interesting that you might not have thought to look up on your own, that you might not have thought to Google or search on YouTube or whatever. You're generally a curious person. No matter what page you go to in the World Almanac, there's going to be something interesting there. That's the goal anyway. And hopefully it'll get you wanting to learn more.
Absolutely. I mean, I just opened to a random page and I had completely forgotten that Cosimo Pinto was the light heavyweight champion back in 1964. Anybody ask me that in a trivia question, I'm covered now.
Yes, indeed. We've got you covered on Boxing Champions and more.
Is there a favorite section of the Almanac for you?
Oh, gosh, it really just depends on what I'm working on that week and how well it's going. But I really do enjoy doing the Nations of the World section every year. I just think it's so great that we have, you know, almost 200 countries, all with population and economic and geographic data, including like a capsule history. So if you're watching the news and you hear about a country that you're not all that familiar with, you can get caught up really quickly. I just think that it's such a great resource to have all of that really quickly available in one place.
And so many facts I don't know that you could find anywhere else without an extensive internet search. I'm going to ask my co-host, producer Carrie, see if he can guess this. Carrie, do you know, and I've opened right up to this on page 428, what is the geographic center of the state of Maine? or at least what county it's in.
If I had to pick a county, I would go with Waldo.
You're pretty close. Piscataquis County.
Okay.
18 miles north of Dover.
That seems north to me.
Well, it's a big state.
Yeah, it is. And people forget that because there's just nothing but woods above that area.
Right.
Or not a lot besides woods.
And again, I mean, you talk about stumbling onto wonderful things. The next page, where else are you going to find this? The origin of the names of all U.S. states and territories. That's just great stuff. Sarah Jansen, I love the book so much. It's awesome to talk with you. Have you already begun work on the 2024 edition?
Oh, gosh, yes, because unfortunately we had to press print on those final pages before the World Cup happened, which was very frustrating from a reference editor's perspective. But we're already getting working on the coverage of the 2022 World Cup for next year, in addition to the Women's World Cup, will be in the 2024 edition of the World Almanac as well. So we're looking forward to all of that.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, thank you for all the great work you and everybody else does on a book that's a staple in my house, and we're going to pass that along to the next generation as well. The new World Almanac and Book of Facts 2023 edition is out now. Sarah Jansen, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.